Okay, I really grappled with this one. Pentecost Sunday and the Jewish Feast of Pentecost don't occur at the same time this year. So I was debating whether to discuss Pentecost this week or wait until the Jewish Feast occurs in June. I chose to address it this week because this coming Sunday, May 19th, is Pentecost Sunday. And there is so much significant, rich information that we can learn from the historical roots of this holiday. So I think it would be powerful to have that awareness while we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. So the Feast of Pentecost, traditionally known as the Feast of Weeks, is the topic of our discussion today. Join me for this episode of All Things Apostolic. In the past few episodes, we've examined the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. If you've been with me in the past few episodes, then you're familiar with Israel's sacred calendar. But we're going to look at it briefly, just one more time, because the timing of the feasts is significant. There were three spring feasts: Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. These feasts fulfilled an important role in ancient Israel as a reminder of what God had done for the Israelites as their protector and their provider. But the feasts also pointed forward to the work of Christ. Jesus is our Passover Lamb who shed his blood to redeem us. He was sinless, but became sin, so that we could become righteous like bread without leaven. And he was the first fruits of the resurrection. The next holy day in Israel's sacred calendar was the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of First Fruits, which was observed on the day after the first Sabbath, after the Passover, so basically on the Sunday after Passover, celebrated the barley harvest and set in motion a 50-day countdown to the Feast of Weeks, which celebrated the wheat harvest. So there were seven Sabbaths, 49 days, and then the day after the seventh Sabbath, the 50th day, marked the Feast of Weeks. The Jewish holy day, known as the Feast of Weeks and Shavuot, is also called Pentecost in the New Testament. The word Pentecost means 50 or 50th in Greek, and it refers to the period of 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Like the other feasts, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost foreshadowed the work of Jesus Christ. Running throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament is a thread of promise regarding the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, Isaiah mentioned God pouring out his Spirit in chapter 32, verse 15, and in chapter 44, verse 3. Of course, the most famous prophecy comes from Joel. In chapter 2, verses 28 to 29, Joel wrote God's words, saying, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." It was also promised in the New Testament. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John 14, Jesus promised his disciples that he would give them another comforter, the Spirit of truth, who would dwell in them and be with them forever. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, would be sent in Jesus' name. John, in chapters 15 and 16 of his gospel account, also reiterated that the Comforter would be coming. In Luke 24:49, Luke recorded Jesus appearing after his resurrection and saying, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The disciples then devoted themselves to prayer while waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. Luke reiterated the story in Acts chapter 1, adding that Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, interestingly, three times a year, all able-bodied Jewish males had to travel to Jerusalem to attend a feast and to offer sacrifices. Those three times were Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurred that last one in the fall. So Jesus' disciples were in Jerusalem for Passover, which coincided with Jesus' death. And then they were also in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, which coincided with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So following Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples tarried in Jerusalem as they had been instructed by Jesus. Now remember that after Jesus' resurrection, he was seen by the disciples during a period of 40 days. So there were 10 more days of tarrying in prayer. In this time, they also replaced Judas with another apostle. Acts chapter 2 begins the pivotal part of the story after they've been tarrying for those extra days to reach the 50 days. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout Jewish males from every nation because of the Feast of Weeks. And when the multitude came to see what was going on, all of them were amazed and marveled, and some of them mocked. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and clarified that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What they were witnessing was the fulfillment of the prophecy that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The highlight came when Peter preached the gospel message, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 42. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So Jerusalem was bustling with activity because of the Feast of Pentecost. And when the day had fully come, not sunset of the evening before, but the morning time, God supernaturally filled the believers in the upper room with his Spirit, as evidenced by speaking in tongues. This drew the attention of the multitude, and after Peter preached the gospel to them of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the Holy Ghost, 3,000 people gladly received his word and were baptized. Okay, so let's take a few minutes and talk about some incredible aspects of what happened on this day of Pentecost, which was the very first Pentecost following Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. First, remember that the sheaf of first fruits was waved on the morrow after the Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath was Saturday, technically sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. So the day after was Sunday. It was considered the first day of the new week. Similarly, the day of Pentecost took place on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the first day of the new week. So two foundational events for the church. the resurrection of Christ, and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost both took place on the first day of the week, following the Sabbath. And that is why the church gathers to worship on Sundays. For the other feasts, they mention how much flour to offer, but for Shavuot, it mentions 2 loaves of bread with leaven, along with other things. Now, there is some scholarly debate about the symbolic meaning of the 2 loaves. Some rabbis argue that the 2 leavened loaves represent the nation of Israel after having been divided for so many centuries. Some scholars believe that the 2 loaves represent the Jews and the Gentiles. Another question relates to why the loaves included leaven, which is typically a symbol of pride, hypocrisy, and wickedness. Some scholars theorize that the loaves represent sinners coming to God with moral failures who need forgiveness, mercy, and grace. So the loaves have to be offered along with a bloody sin offering. Another theory is that the church is not pure. There can be leaven in the body, such as false doctrines. So the leavened loaves may represent that there is some pride and sin even in the church, and we must always be on guard for it. Another very interesting correlation with this special day that not many people may realize is that there's a relationship between Sinai in the Old Testament as the shadow and Pentecost as the New Testament fulfillment. In Exodus chapter 19, God met with the Israelites, and in chapter 20, he gave them the Ten Commandments. Do you know when it was? It was on the day of the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Even today, when Jewish people celebrate Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, they're celebrating the anniversary of the giving of the Torah, or the law, at Sinai. The Torah was viewed as a covenant document with Israel. Think back to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 33, say, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the old covenant was on tables of stone, but the new covenant was in their hearts. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, Paul confirmed that this is an appropriate view because he said that the people are like an epistle of Christ, not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So let's compare the giving of the law at Sinai, which is an Old Testament Pentecost that foreshadowed the New Testament Pentecost. The Old Testament feast was held on the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits, and that's exactly when the day of Pentecost occurred in the New Testament. The Old Testament represented the Old Covenant under Moses, whereas the New Testament represented the New Covenant under Jesus. The Old Covenant was established based on the blood of the Passover Lamb that had redeemed the people. The New Covenant was established based on the blood of Jesus Christ, our Passover, who redeemed mankind by his shed blood. The Old occurred on Mount Sinai, and the New occurred on Mount Zion. God's presence was manifested supernaturally in both situations. In the Old Testament, there was thunder, the sound of the trumpet, fire, and a loud voice. In the New Testament, there was the sound of wind, tongues like fire, and speaking in other tongues. So there was fire and there was noise. In the Old Testament, the law was written on tables of stone. But in the New Testament, it was written in the fleshy tables of the heart. In the Old Testament, the law was given by the finger of God. In the New Testament, it was by the Spirit of God. In both situations, the people were fearful. In the Old Testament, the people disobeyed and 3,000 died. In the New Testament, the people obeyed Peter's words and they repented and were baptized, which represents spiritual death and burial. But it does ultimately lead to eternal life. So there were 3,000 souls that died in the Old Testament and 3,000 souls that symbolically died in baptism in the New Testament. Subsequent to the Feast of Weeks, God gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle and the system of worship. It included the priesthood and the sacrificial system. In the New Testament, the day of Pentecost marked the birth of the church, with each person filled with the Holy Ghost being a temple of God's Spirit. The apostles taught about the priesthood of all believers and the spiritual sacrifices, such as offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Also, according to Jewish tradition, Shavuot or Pentecost is when God betrothed Israel. Similarly, the church, which was birthed on the day of Pentecost, is the bride of Christ. The spiritual birthday of Israel is when the Torah brought the 12 tribes of Israel together into one corporate people. And the spiritual birthday of the church is when believers form one family in Christ. So Jesus' death coincided with Passover because he was our Passover lamb, and he was sinless like the unleavened bread. Then he rose on the day of the Feast of First Fruits because he was the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Then 50 days later, at the Feast of Weeks, which celebrates the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the early church represented the first portion, or the first fruits, of the Spirit. After the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament, in which the Israelites presented the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the Israelites expected a great harvest. Similarly, on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, the first fruits of the church were gathered together, the first fruits of the spiritual harvest under the new covenant established by Jesus. Some Bible scholars make an interesting point that it's possible that symbolically the barley harvest referred to the Jewish converts, and then the wheat harvest represented Gentile converts. The gospel came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. According to the cycle of sacred feasts, Jesus' final work on earth coincided with the barley harvest, and then there was a period of 50 days, and then the Feast of Pentecost coincided with the wheat harvest. So it's possible it was a reflection of the harvest of the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. Of course, even with the wheat harvest, there were Jews to whom the Spirit was given first, such as those within the upper room. But certainly, the scope of the spiritual wheat harvest, as it spread into the Gentile areas, was much larger than within the Jewish communities. And getting the Holy Ghost, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, is still available to us today. It is the first fruits of the Spirit for us because it is like a down payment on our heavenly inheritance. It's a foretaste of what is to come. And it shows that we belong to God because we are the temple of His Spirit. I would like to end today's episode with this thought. In John chapter 4, Jesus talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. Afterwards, based on her testimony, the townspeople came to talk with Jesus. The disciples were concerned about his physical well-being, but he said that his food was to do the will of the one who sent him and to accomplish his work. Then he said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. When the grain is fully sprouted and perfect for gathering, it looks like the color of white. So when a field of grain, such as wheat, is fully ripe and ready, it looks like a sea of white." Another time, recorded in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was busy ministering to people and healing them. He was teaching and proclaiming the gospel, and he had compassion on the people. He said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Well, God is the Lord of the harvest, and we are the laborers who are supposed to be about the business, his business of reaping and sowing. We are his body acting on his behalf to draw people and gather them to him. In John chapter 12, Jesus said that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Then he added that he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, the Greek word for hate in this verse can mean to hate or to detest, but it can also mean to love less or to esteem less. So one way to look at it is that it doesn't mean that we have to literally hate our lives, but it means that we need to love our lives less than we love doing the will of God. Jesus experienced suffering, and he endured the process in order to bear spiritual fruit. All believers are called upon to follow Jesus' example and to die to our own will so that God's will can be accomplished. By dying to our own will and obeying God's will for us, we will also bear spiritual fruit for the glory of God. Jesus said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. This Pentecost Sunday, and of course every day, let's continue to passionately apply ourselves to sowing, to reaping, and to gathering the harvest of souls for God's kingdom. The fields are white for harvest. May you have a bountiful Pentecost Sunday.